There's a top 10 common words or phrases that have been redefined by parents with children. I thought I'd share them with you too very quickly this morning. Number 10, a dumb waiter is one who asks kids if they would like to order dessert. Every kid would like to order dessert. Defense, what you better have around the yard if you're going to let the children play outside. Sterilize, what you do with your first baby's pacifier by boiling it, and what you do with your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it. A thunderstorm, a chance to see how many family members can fit into one bed. The top bunk, where you better not put a child who's wearing Superman pajamas. Feedback, the inevitable result when a baby does not appreciate the vegetables that have been served. The two-minute warning, when the baby's face turns red and begins making those familiar grunting sounds. Whoops! An exclamation in every family that roughly can be translated into run and get a towel. Grandparents, the people who think your children are wonderful, even though they are sure you are not raising them right. And then number one, independent. How we want our children to be as long as they do everything just the way we told them to do it, independent. And today we're going to talk about healthy dependency, healthy dependencies. In this day and time in our culture and society, when we hear so much about personal independence, we want to be on our own. Our kids want to be on our own. We don't want to be dependent upon anyone. And in fact, in our culture today, it is often seen as a weakness to be dependent upon any one person or thing. But we need to be reminded this morning that God created you and I dependent beings. God created you and I fundamentally to be dependent on Him and one another. And one of the greatest perversions of God's creation today and the way that He created you and I is that we were created to be independent, which first of all, we were not. God created us with a dependence upon Him, and God created us with a dependence on others in our life as He leads, as He orchestrates, and as He ordains. And so as we understand healthy dependence this morning and kind of paint a picture by way of introduction, I want us to look at some dependencies that God intends for us to have. First of all, we are dependent upon God. You and I this morning are dependent upon God. All throughout the Word of God, mankind is compared to sheep. All right? Sheep are dependent creatures. Sheep, they're not good hunters. Sheep do not navigate well. Sheep are not able to protect themselves well. They're easy prey. They are absolutely the most vulnerable. They need a shepherd. They need a leader. They need protection. They need provision. And throughout the Word of God, we are likened to that creature, to those sheep. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:11, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Again, we being likened unto the sheep here, a picture of a shepherd caring for, leading his sheep as God intends and desires to do for you and I as well this morning. And when we understand the fact that we stand at a weakness, we need God. Nobody would think that it would be normal for me to go to my son, Joseph, who's 5, tonight and say, hey, Joseph, here's the keys. Go get us some pizza and come back. Now, nobody would think that to be a reasonable request. He's 5 years old. He doesn't have a license. He doesn't know how to drive. He doesn't know where the good pizza's at. He doesn't have any money. I don't know that, you know, there would be a lot of challenges to him going and getting the pizza and bringing it home. Now, he may want to do that. Man, Dad wants me to go get pizza. I want to go get pizza. He may have all the desire in the world to obey and to get it done, but he's not going to be able to do it. And we understand those limitations, and nobody in this room would look at Joseph at 5 and say, oh, you know, what's his problem? He should be able to get that done. We would all understand he's not capable of that. And as crazy as it would be to throw the keys to Joseph at 5 and say, go get the family some pizza and bring it home, so it is for the Christian to think they're going to live a successful Christian life without being dependent upon God. Amen. God looks at you and I and says, what are you doing? You're not capable of this. This isn't the way it was designed. as crazy as it would be to see Joseph at five driving and trying to get those things done, is how God looks at you and I trying to live life without him. It doesn't work that way. We were designed to be dependent upon God. God created us this way. And probably the best description of that in the scriptures is David when he wrote in Psalms 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Is the Lord our shepherd this morning? Are we dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we fought through the cultural trends of independence and we don't need anybody and we can make it on our own and we're a self-made man or woman? And have we rested in the fact that we are a created being designed to be dependent upon God? The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We've all gone our own way, and we indeed are in need of Jesus Christ. And we need him to know that our eternal home will be heaven, and we need him in our daily living that it would be indeed abundant and victorious. So the essence of the successful Christian life is a daily dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ for our needs. We need him. That's a dependence that God intended. Secondly, we are dependent on the opposite sex. We are dependent on the opposite sex. Now, not only do we understand that it takes male and female, man and woman, to propagate human life, but it is also necessary in the order of God's design and fulfillment for what he desires to accomplish on this world. Now, it may not be in God's perfect will for every human being to marry, okay? And this is a couples class, so this relevantly applies where we're going here for a moment or two. But in the big picture, it may not be God's will for every human being to marry. It may be that there would be some circumstances where that would not be the case. The lady who has served my father as an administrative assistant in the ministry now for 30 years has never married. And her name is Candy Alvis. And I've known her since I was in kindergarten. And she has just always felt like the Lord called her into ministry, and that's what she does with her life, and that's what the Lord had for her. So there are instances where that is the case. Those are not that's not the majority, certainly, but sometimes it is. But the Lord, as he has given us in this room a spouse, and we have the gift of marriage, we understand that we are dependent upon one another. There are special abilities and gifts that God has given men that he has not given to women. And likewise, there are special endowments and gifts that God has given to women that God has not given to men. All of us in our married lives have understood we see things differently. Something happens and Junior got hurt and Dad's like, toughen up. And Mom's like, oh, come here. You know. And I mean, it's just we think differently. We react differently. We're wired differently. We behave differently. And there's a dependence that God intended there that is a strength and a blessing and a benefit to the marriage relationship. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians 11:9, neither was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. There was a purpose in that creation. God created Adam, and God created the garden, and God gave Adam the responsibility to care for the garden. And then God caused a deep sleep over Adam, and God took a rib, and he created Eve, and God gave Eve unto Adam. And there was a purpose being fulfilled there. There was a natural dependency that God had intended. In Ephesians 5:21, we're instructed, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So the proper function of every marriage is relying on this dependence of one another. Listen, you're not going to have a great marriage if your attitude is, I don't need my spouse. That's not typically an environment people are running home, running after work to. There needs to be an understanding, we need each other. We're going to go a whole lot further in life, and we're going to enjoy the journey a whole lot more if there's an understanding God gave us one to another. We need one another. We can accomplish more together as a team. And so we need God. We're not going to make it without God in this world. And as husbands and wives, we need each other. We need our spouse. And I think that helps us to understand it, because then it helps the way we treat one another. Joseph needs me to get him to the pizza parlor. So he better treat me right. If he wants to eat, he needs me, right? I need the Lord. And we need each other. And we need our spouse. We want to make sure we're behaving in this way. And then thirdly, we are dependent upon the body of Christ. We are dependent upon the body of Christ. Now, we're not going to take the time this morning, we certainly could, to read 1 Corinthians 12 in its entirety. But in the chapter, we study how the Spirit of God uniquely and divinely gifts every person within the church. And that as God brings the people to the church, the Bible says that He adds to the church such as it needs, which is what really excites me about our class right now, because I see the Lord adding a lot of people. The Lord's adding new people because we need them, because of what God wants us to accomplish in the future for His honor and for His glory. And that's the biblical model. The Lord adds people. Those people have unique giftedness. They then begin to fit within the body of Christ. They work together and great things happen as a result. And we are designed to be dependent upon God, to be dependent upon our spouse, and to be dependent upon the body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him." So God adds to the church, and God gifts those people in which He adds. Why? Verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So some are the hands, and some are the feet, some are the eyes, and some are the ears. But you got to put all the pieces together. And God challenges us in that passage. Don't look at somebody who maybe is the mouth and say, "Oh, I wish I could be them." A mouth isn't much if it doesn't have feet to get anywhere. And God says every piece is important. They are all needful. And when you put them all together, then it can function and accomplish something great for God's honor and God's glory. So the essence of the introduction of this lesson is we were created dependent. We need God. We need our spouse. We need one another in the context of a church. And as we understand those things, then I want us to look at four important rules concerning this dependency, how to keep it healthy, and how to keep it functional. All right, here we go. Rule number one, our primary dependence must be upon God. Our primary dependence must be upon God. Here's a great illustration of this in John 4. Let's look at this together, beginning in verse 7. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." So she's coming to draw water. Here's the Lord already at the well. Verse 8. "For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." So He's by Himself. Verse 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan." They weren't getting along. She was kind of surprised to even ask. Verse 10, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." So here's the Lord, and He's a Jew, and here comes the Samaritan woman, and she's going to draw some water, and the Lord asks for water, and she's surprised. Why would He ask of me water? We don't get along. We usually don't even talk. This was a shock to her. And He rebuttals by saying, "Well, you should be asking me for water, because I could give you living water." And she's thinking, "You don't even have a jug. I mean, how are you going to draw this water? You're asking me for it, and then you're telling me I should be asking you." She's puzzled by it, and she inquires of the Lord exactly what it is He's saying. And drop down to verse 13 there in your notes, as the Lord clarifies the meaning of what He's offering. "Jesus answered and said to her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, Jesus Christ was not here at the well to judge the woman. Jesus Christ was not here at the well just to point out her faults and failures. Jesus Christ was here in a moment of divine appointment to help bring healing to this woman's hurting heart. His heart of compassion poured out for who she was and where she had been and the brokenness that she was experiencing, and He was offering a cup of living water. Now listen, in a room of people of this size, there's no doubt that there is hurt, there is brokenness, there's disappointment, there's some failure and frustration, okay? And what we must learn in the environment of a healthy dependency is this. We are never going to get healed, cured, fixed, beyond it without God. If we're expecting that out of our spouse and our spouse alone, utter failure. If we're expecting that out of ourself and ourself alone, utter failure. If we're expecting that out of a career success and money and fortune, utter failure. It's not going to work. There is a dependency that God designed for us to depend on Him in some areas and Him alone that we have to recognize and accept in our hearts. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioning to her, whether it's a broken marriage or a broken family, a broken home. The Lord is saying, you need me. You need the water that I can provide to heal these things in your life. And we cannot have a dependence on the people or the things in our life to heal those deepest inner needs. Why? It'll lead someone to consistent failure, hurt, and cynicism. Listen to me. When a Christian has a spirit of, oh, this just can't be done, or, oh, it's never right, or it's just always going to be this way, you usually can point to somebody who's dependent on the wrong thing. Because when a Christian is living in the realm of dependence upon God, their spirit is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. God is in me, and He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that ask or think. With God, all things are possible. Amen. When a Christian has the right dependence upon God, it doesn't matter the size of the mountain they're facing. They got God behind them. God can handle it. And their spirit and their outlook and their paradigm on life is right because their dependence upon God is rightly placed. And that's what He's challenging us here in this illustration of the woman at the well, that we would be where we should. It's interesting to me, as He is speaking with her and as she comes, that it's indicated in the story that she was married 5 times and now she is living with a man. So I think by her own personal testimony, she has proven that these earthly relationships are not filling the void. She's been through 5 marriages. That didn't work. Let's just try shacking up together. And when she meets the Lord, she's as miserable as she ever was. And the Lord in love is not judging her and pointing out all these things. He's simply saying, ma'am, you're going to continue to chase one solution and one idea after another until you just come to me. And when you come to me and you get living water, there will be a spring of water in you that you will be able to handle these difficulties as they come. All of life will change because he that is in Christ is a new creature. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that's what he's encouraging her to understand and to follow after. And we want to make sure in our life that our dependence is indeed upon the Lord, that we're addressing the root of the problem, and that he is filling that void in our life that only he can fill. He promises that if we will come and drink of this water, we will never thirst again. What an incredible promise. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so, do we come this morning broken? Of course we do. Do we come this morning with the void? Yes, we do. And by way of introduction, we painted the picture. We all do. The ground is level to cross. All of us are in need of Christ. So the question is, are we depending on Christ this morning? Are we depending on Him? Are we asking Him to give what only He can give? Or are we trying to pursue it in an earthly relationship or in a tangible thing or in a successful corporate ladder run? What are we depending on is God number one, because if we're going to have healthy dependencies, the Lord must be number one. Rule number two, our secondary dependence is upon equal or greater relationships. Our secondary dependence is upon equal or greater relationships. Now, these relationships I'm referring to here would include your spouse, your children, your friends, maybe some spiritual leaders or mentors in your life, extended family you might have, some work associates, teachers, and other relationships of this type and sort. And of course, we have these in our life, and there is a level of dependence that we are to have with these people as God designed us in this way. Now, the highest level when it comes to earthly relationship and dependencies is with our spouse. So outside of our relationship with God, we're most dependent on Him. That's the void. That's the way He designed it. But then as the Lord gives us a spouse, as we enjoy the relationship of marriage, as God designed it, there is a secondary level of dependence that God intends to be there. And as we are married, as the Lord draws us together and gives us one to another, there is a relationship of deep trust and a mutual support developed when we understand we are dependent on one another. We're not independent of each other. That's not the way God designed it. And by the way, some people try to operate marriage that way and it fails. It's frustrating. We're two ships passing in the night. We're not co-journeying through life together. We're not submitting one to another. We're not going through life in the way that a husband and wife should be. And we stand frustrated because it's not working. And it's not working because we're doing it out of bounds. We're doing it contrary to the way indeed that God provided. And when a spouse understands, a husband and wife, we need one another. We're dependent on one another. We're working together. It greatly strengthens their relationship, but it also strengthens the foundation for their parenting. Children have an innate ability to know when there's unity and cooperation between mom and dad and when there's not. It's like blood in the water for the shark. There's just something innately built into a child that antenna, ding, 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 mom and dad are at odds. Now's the time to exploit the stuff going on between mom and dad because we can get whatever we want. There's just something about the developing of a dysfunctional home when the mom and dad are not on the same page. And there is a healthy environment that is created for children when mom and dad are cooperating, working together, and it provides security for them and for their development. That's why the Bible challenges you tonight in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The idea is to cleave one to another. You cannot tell where the one ends and the other begins, and becoming one flesh. And we, as husbands and wives, must strive to keep our relationships healthy and growing. Listen, it's going to require some effort, but it's worth it. It's worth it to have a marriage that is striving, that is in unity, that is working together, that is providing that foundation for our children. If the Lord blesses your home in this way, and the consequences of not doing so are something we do not want to face. So God is saying this secondary dependence is so important to make sure that we have the right unity in our relationship. And I just challenge us this morning, as husbands and wives in His design, let's make sure we're depending on one another, that there is a healthy relationship happening in our marriage this morning. As you think of these secondary dependencies, in addition to our relationship with our spouse, we certainly could cover the idea of godly supportive friends. Any close friendships we have with others are either going to help secure our values, or they're going to begin to detract from our values. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And God challenges you and I, be careful with the people you surround yourself with, because they're either lifting you up or they're tearing you down. And I want to encourage us to strive to develop with diligence good and godly relationships. And the best place to develop those relationships is in church. It's one of the blessings of a class like this, is getting to know, hey, here's another couple and they've got kids, or they're in a similar life stage with us and kind of going through stuff we're going through. Let's get to know them. And maybe we get together on an off time after class and have some fellowship, play some games or whatever. And you're developing these friendships in this kind of an environment where iron sharpens iron. We're helping one another, developing the kind of relationships that we should. And we want to make sure we're working on that. All of us might have acquaintances who don't even know the Lord. And through our relationship with them, we're praying they would come to know the Lord. But we want to be very careful that all of our time is not spent with people who don't know the Lord and who behave like they don't know the Lord, and it's influencing us to behave this way. None of us would take the approach with our children of, here's a terrible environment, but we're going to throw our kids in there and they're going to make the whole thing better. None of us would do that. You don't take a good apple, throw in a bucket of bad apples, and expect them all to get good. The good one goes bad. Well, so it is in our life as well. If we say we love God, we want to be a good Christian, we want to live for God, but then our whole week is spent with people who hate God, and we're influenced by that, then we need an adjustment of our influences. We need the right kind of friends in our life. And again, there may be people in our life in whom we're picking up and drawing closer to the Lord. But I want to ask you this morning, who in your life is picking you up? Who in your life did you spend time with in the last 6 days that sharpened you as a Christian? Who in your life are you spending time with when you leave their presence, you are challenged to do more for God? We all have to have that, or we're going to be stagnant. If we don't have that, I'm going to walk in this room 7 days from today, the same person. And in God's eyes, that's a failure. Because I don't have 7 days to waste to be the same guy. I need to become more like the Lord. So I need somebody between now and next Sunday to kind of get after me a little bit. And that's the kind of guy I am. And say, hey, here we go. And everybody's motivated differently. But we need to make sure we have some influences in our life that are helping us to draw closer to the Lord. Understanding of those types of things. And we can find that in the context of a church, in the context of spiritual leaders and mentors. And I'm thankful for the good people that God indeed has brought here. Then rule number three. Dependency must not diminish or usurp personal responsibility. Our dependencies must not diminish or usurp personal responsibility. Personal responsibility is so very important, and God created you and I with a free will, but He will hold us responsible for the decisions we make. And yes, we are dependent upon God, and yes, we are dependent upon our spouse, and yes, we are dependent on one another in the body of Christ, and yes, we need that encouragement, but we can't take all of that out of context and say, well, it's their fault. No, at the end of the day, we make our own decisions. At the end of the day, we sleep in the bed we make. And there is a level of personal responsibility that all of us have to own, all right? We're not going to spend a ton of time on that because that's a little bit of where we're going next week. So rule number four, dependency must not interfere with a greater dependence. Last thought here as we wrap up. Dependency must not interfere with a greater dependence. What does this mean? If you are a parent, this means then that you cannot assert God's authority in the life of your child, okay? So God has given you and I children. We are to what? Train them and nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. We are to prepare them with a relationship with God. But there is a level in their life as they get older where they're the Lord's, they're not ours. And we don't want to assert God's authority in their life. We don't want to hold our children back from doing something great for God because it's inconvenient to us. The Lord gave them to us. We want to give them back to the Lord, and we want to prepare them for a life of service unto Him. So we got to be careful that our dependency doesn't interfere with the greater dependence that God intended. Here's another kind of practical illustration or idea of that. As we are friends one amongst the other, in a setting like this, we always have to be careful with our involvement with other married friends. Why? Because as much as we love and enjoy the friendship and company with one another, we've got to be careful we don't interfere with each other's marriage. We don't want to be in a place where somebody is coming to us and we're siding with them against their spouse. That's usurping the dependence. Greater than my friends need me, they need their spouse. And if I'm being used in their life as somehow a wedge or a justifier to not be as close to the spouse as they should, I'm in the wrong. My friendship with a married person should be encouraging them to spend less time with me and more with their spouse, to be less close with me and more close with their spouse. Now, there may be something criminally involved. There may be a reason at times to side with authority and truth and to get involved. But outside of that rare exception, we want to make sure that these kind of relationships are encouraging people back to where they should be. And this could be difficult at times for people in which we love, but we must understand that their marriage is a higher priority for them than we are. And we have to honor that. And I just want to make sure in a group like this, we have all of these relationships developing, and I love it. That's the context. That's the environment. That's the atmosphere we want to create. But let's make sure at the end of the day, we're encouraging one another in the direction they should go. The relationships in this class should be encouraging one another to the Lord. Are we drinking from the water that never dries? This morning, are we dependent upon the Lord? This class should be encouraging people to be dependent upon their spouse. Are we living in cooperation and unity as husband and wife? Are we working together as a team? Are we working together as the body of Christ? Do we have the right kind of friendships? And I want to encourage you in the next 6 days before we meet together again next Sunday, study your dependencies. Is there a dependence on the Lord? Are you trusting and resting in Him every day for His help in your life to live as you should? How are you working together as husband and wife? And this week, let's thrive in that area. And then as we have friendships in this room, and we serve together as the body of Christ, let's encourage one another. And let's determine we're going to be around some people this week that lift us up.
that challenge us to do more for God, that encourage us to accomplish something great for the Lord. Those are the kind of people we want to surround our life with. And let's make sure that at the end of our life, we don't come to something that is dysfunctional or something that is off course or distorted simply because we misplaced our dependency. None of us in this room were designed to live life on an island. God is not looking at us like me looking at Joseph at 5 to go get pizza. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. God is looking for us to rest in Him the way He created us to do it. Let's work on that this week and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we sure love You. Thank You for some time together in Your Word today. Thank You for Your blessing upon our class. Lord, we're so grateful for those that are here today, some that are back visiting with us, some that, Lord, we've missed and are back, some that are here for the first time. And Lord, we pray Your richest blessing upon each and every one of them. Help us this week to put our faith and trust in You and to make sure that we're not trying to charge ahead and do it on our own, but rather that we're resting in Your strength and in Your guidance in our life. And Lord, may that make every relationship that we have better. Lord, I pray that You bless our class, bring us back safely again next Sunday. And Lord, we pray that we would live for You this week in a way that brings You honor and glory. And we'll sure praise and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.